Hello, friends and folks, and welcome to the Great Gundam Project. We're here to talk about Victini Gundam, episode 17 and 18. I'm Six Detmar.
I'm Jackson Tyler from Abnorm Mapping. No, this is not. This is a mashup.
Oh, what?
It's a fusion podcast. It's an alternate version podcast. No, fusion, I'm Alan Ibrahim. You all know me.
Yeah, no, we're actually here to watch Pokemon White, Victini, and Zekrom.
And, or no, that's not true. Six, sorry, I was confused. No, we're not here to watch that. We're actually here to watch Pokemon the movie Black, Victini, and Reshiram. That's what we watched this week, right?
Yeah, of course. We watched it in Japanese.
By that, you obviously mean we watched it in the classic English dub. Yep, I got you.
You say potato, I say potato. Let's call the whole thing off, Alan.
Yes, Sax. Yeah, folks, we watched the 17th Pokemon movie. Pokemon the movie Black, Victini and Reshiram / Victini and Zekrom, the movie White. Six watched Pokemon the movie White. I watched Pokemon the movie Black. Why are we here? This is not a Joe. This is not a traditional Quorum episode.
We watched three movies already. I mean, it's not that atraditional. We did the first movie, we did 2000, and we did the Molly movie. You know, it's like the Goofy movie.
The Molly Pod.
That's the Molly
right.
movie.
We skipped a couple of movies because they're not good. All really that worth watching. They're not good. I've heard like the Dialga Palkia fight is good in isolation, but like who cares about Dialga and Palkia? And like the Jirachi movie is bad, and the Celebi movie is boring, and the Latios Latias movie is like weird because they turn into girls that Ash has a crush on.
Yeah, right. We should watch that for that. That's right. I remember finding that out on the quorum and kind of flipping out. I kind of got really worked up and upset. Like
yeah, exactly. That like ruined my night. These movies came out in Japan on July 16th, 2011. We don't need, like, to do credits. It's a Pokemon movie. The main reason we're watching this one is because Gen 5, The Longest Gen, also has a gimmick movie of sorts at its tail end. So these movies are basically billed as the same plot, but different themes and different visual elements throughout. So that's why we watched them. We both watched the separate movies. And we're going to try to come to a conclusion about what actually happened in the collective Pokemon the movie Black and White and sort of, like, form a whole.
Well, you see, Alan, according to Wikipedia, yeah. Both films combine comedy, drama, action, and fantasy.
Those are true statements, I guess.
Sometimes they write stuff and you're like, you know, you ain't wrong, Wikipedia.
Yeah, what you said is true. They do take place during the 14th season of the Black and White anime, I guess.
Yep. God, okay, so how about that? Did I wrote up pretty extensive notes. You did as well, right?
Correct. I think the best way for us to handle this is, let's talk about our general thoughts briefly, and then we can go scene by scene and see what's different.
Okay, so I was talking with my roommates over dinner about this film, and I was like, you know, the thing is, I feel like there are sort of two ways that Pokemon movies go. After the first movie, which was just a legit banger, they just fucking knocked it out of the park.
Truly.
Either you're like, fluckin', it's Pokemon, the kids are gonna go see it, who gives a shoot, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're like, it's Pokemon, we kind of just get a big budget, let's do something weird.
Wild.
Yeah. I thought this was a pretty good movie, actually.
Yeah, I think it's difficult, right? Because, like, visually it's doing all the stuff I like in anime movies. Again, very, very inspired by Miyazaki. As we've like talked about with previous Pokemon films, they lean into that stuff a lot.
Especially some of the characters, like the mayor in this one, is just a Miyazaki character flying around on his fluckin' plane.
His fluckin' plane. Listen, yeah, that's such a Porco Rosso thing.
It's a show for kids, so of course I can't swear.
Oh, true. That's so true. Even though you said the F word already like a lot.
I said fluckin'.
Every time?
No.
No, go back and edit it so you say fluckin'. Yeah, there's a lot of like little visual nods to stuff like that. And I think the back end is visually really cool. But ultimately, like the splitting of this movie, and I'm going to call it a movie because the differences are mostly negligible and the differences are important. The splitting makes the pacing broken. It breaks the pacing. The first 50 minutes of this movie are not plot. There is nothing actually happening. We get a little bit of flashback, and then once we're in Ashtown, it's just like, oh, Victini's cute. Did you know Victini's cute? And like, I love that. Victini is cute. that's true. This little legendary Pokemon gets up to a bunch of mischief. And then it's in the last like 45 minutes that they're like, oh, beans. Ooh, we have to have a story. Well, this guy has ideals, but he can't have like clear ideals because they have to be different between each of the movies, and which Pokemon help him has to be different. So like, it really buckles under the difficulty of like them making two separate but the same film.
I don't agree with you.
Fight me. Battle me in the arena.
Every time I do that, you get really anxious and say we have to agree.
Okay, fair enough. We don't have to agree on this one. No, but like ultimately, yeah, I think visually this film ends up being really stunning and has like some of the sharpest animation of this era. It's not like particularly unique looking, it looks like, but the Pokemon anime did for a while. But God, there's some cool shit. There is some really cool shit, but like, I couldn't stand the fact that all of my notes for the first 45 minutes, I was like, there's no conflict? There's no conflict. And then suddenly there was all the conflict, and then everything gets batshit for 5 seconds, and then we're done.
I feel like that doesn't... I don't know. I feel like you're being way too chained to traditional format. I feel like it's a compelling watch. I think the first part of the movie, like, we're already, right off the bat, at least in mine, I guess there are times where I'm not sure where the differences are, but here's a thing that helps establish how things are going to go. I believe your dude, his name is Damon, right?
Yep.
His name is Dredd in Japanese, like Judge Dredd.
Yes. Those are both different, similarly like obvious but in different ways, because Damon, him being a dragon, Damien, devil, evil, dragon man,
right? But also Damon's just English. A name. Dredd is not a name, but,
exactly.
And so immediately,
well, Dredd is a name. Dredd's an old name. It's like an old-timey name.
Okay, well, Japan doesn't know that.
True. They're just calling him Dredd because it's clearly evil. I think he's a good villain.
I think he's all right. I have some thoughts, but I think they pretty much, like, the first scene they establish, like, okay, he wants to restore his people to their ancient homelands, and everybody around him is like, yo, this is a bad idea, you're flicking with forces you don't understand. I feel like the conflict is established right there, and then it kind of goes into the background, but it's not gone.
True, that idea isn't gone. I just feel like we didn't get to know, like, his interiority that much, other than, like, I'm doing it because my mom said I should do it, and because I know, like, I want my people to go back to their homeland.
I mean, it's a kid show. He's a basic bridge.
He's a what?
Basic bridge.
Oh. I guess it is a kid show. You're right. I want to get there because what the other thing that bothered me, and this is in part influenced by a YouTube review that I saw of this film, that basically posits that the version that you watched is like a more narratively cohesive film. Because
I'm almost certain.
The themes... Huh?
I'm almost certain that's true.
Yeah, because yours actually makes like logical sense for Ash and also for Damon, whereas mine is like, it's the other boy. We don't agree with what we should. We don't think the way that normal people think.
Yeah, because it is so. We get I feel like a big part of this is that thing we liked with Reshiram and Zekrom, which is what they represent, and we get it fleshed out a little better here. Right? Yeah. They put it in good terms where they're like, okay, Reshiram is about seeking the truth. Zekrom is about chasing ideals. Yeah. So Reshiram is the Pokemon that's like, this is reality, you have to deal with it. And Zekrom is the one that's like, fuck reality, let's make a better world, no matter what it costs.
Ash should be with Zekrom. That's yes. The only way this makes any sense.
And it also, like, it doesn't quite line up that Dredd is with Reshiram, but it is at least like, no, the reality of this world is this fortress exists to fuck with the vein or whatever, so I guess that makes more sense than him. I don't know. The problem is that they don't, either side, they don't make Reshiram fit in very well.
No.
Because neither of these is actually about truth. There's no mystery here.
There is literally a moment that I imagine is much better written in your film, where Damon says something like, your ideals, Reshiram asks Ash, like, what is your truth? And he's like, my truth is I want Victini to go to the beach. And it's like, that doesn't mean anything. What do you mean? That's not like an ideal. That's not an ideology.
Well, he says, what are your ideals? And Ash is like, okay, well, first, it's Satoshi, goddammit. And it's also kind of cute because I think this is, I don't know the English performance, but at least with Satoshi, it comes across that Satoshi's kind of like, I don't really get what you're asking me.
Yeah.
I wanna save people, and I wanna help my friend go see the ocean. And and Zekrom's like, I also want to see the ocean. Let's go. Zekrom doesn't say that, but it very much feels like Zekrom's like, you don't know how to say what you're feeling, but I guess I get it.
I get it. I watched the show. I do think that the Victini stuff is the best part of this movie, in both in how it leans into Ash having protagonist power by having there be a legendary Pokemon that literally lets him win every fight, even though he was already going to, because Pokemon.
It's great because for once it actually, like, they lean into how Ash can kind of be a bad trainer, at least historically, where he's sending under-evolved, underpowered Pokemon with like a bad match type up, and people on the sidelines are like, buddy, you're casting Ember on a Samurott. This isn't going to work.
And then it just works beautifully, and he's like, wow, I guess I trained him really well. And it's like, no, you fool, you have protagonist power. Victini's here to help. That part, yeah, all of those couple of scenes where Ash is, like, being a bad trainer, but Victini's like, I'm going to give it to you, are just absurd. Completely absurd.
It's fantastic. The fucking, the Tepig, like, it's, okay, it is the Tepig. Like, there are times where I'm like, did they just swap out a Pokemon for you? Was it, like, a Charmander or some? Shoot.
That's a Tepig.
Okay, when the Tepig rolls back and basically does like a father-son Kamehameha and erases Cell, it's like, whoa.
So I think we can start kind of like digging into the scenes. Mm-hmm. I will say that some of the stuff that is different includes like the soundtrack is completely different. They're different composers, which is bonkers. Huh. My soundtrack was occasionally good and occasionally really bad, and I imagine yours would be good in different places.
I thought it was pretty much good the whole way through. I mean, like, it wasn't always like, you know, like, dang, I gotta put this on my iPod, but it was like, these are good songs.
You're right, 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 right. No, I mean, it's mostly just bog standard, but there are occasionally parts where I was like, this is not, like, stirring up any emotion in me. So it's that stuff. It's whenever there's a version exclusive in yours, there's the other version exclusive in mine. That's easy swap out. The World of Pokemon intro is slightly different, and as we're gonna see, some of the, like, themes of the movie are different. So we open on Ash, Iris, and a boy we later learn is named Silen.
I'm pretty sure you mean Dent.
Dent is Harvey Dent in your version. He's a green-haired Pokemon connoisseur.
Okay. They say connoisseur in your version, huh?
I'm pretty sure
that's what they say to you, huh?
What do they say in yours?
He's a Pokemon sommelier. It's the worst. He's insufferable.
Ew.
He spends the whole movie being like, you know, like Japanese, fantastic, and it's like, I want to kill you.
The equivalent of that he has in English is, as someone will be like, oh, here you go, Silent. He's like, merci beaucoup, and you're like, shut up. He's like, yeah, he's perfectly annoying in both. That's really, really, really good.
He's insufferable.
And it's great because Iris is like, these characters are only in there to check off a box. Like, Ash has people with him. They don't do literally anything. But Iris does occasionally go like, ooh, a dragon. I like those. That's her whole character. It's fine. The movie's not about them.
Though there is a point where, and I know this is a game for kids. I know we should be adults. I'm about to be very immature in an adult way.
Okay.
But this is what he says. He's talking about how he wants to experience the sights and the tastes of the city, and he says he wants to feel the town's nuts with his tongue. And it's like, what? Phrasing, my guy.
I wonder if that's a subtitles thing. That's bonkers.
It's like,
yeah, your subtitles must not be interesting if he's also calling him a sommelier, which is like a wine taster.
I mean, he says that in Japanese. He says like the English. He says sommelier. So I think it's just a localization difference. But he's
taste the nuts with my tongue.
Feel nuts, not just taste them.
Feel the nuts with my tongue.
He wants to feel them.
That's worse.
Yes, yes, it is.
We get our first major difference right off the back, though. Right off the bat.
Yes, we do, because we open on a different visit from Dreadson.
Right. Because they go down a crossroad. It's like the narrator is like, Ash and company always have to make certain decisions, and sometimes they have to go to a crossroad and make a choice. And this is the one they make today. And on mine, he goes right, and on yours, he goes left. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to our side of the road, and Dreadson, or Damon, is in my movie. He starts in an icy town, like a sort of Alaskan town. And there's a big iceberg coming at them. And now I'm having to describe the movie from my point of view. But his Gothitelle rescues a lily pup from the ice. There's a lot of really bad CG. There's an iceberg. And then he rides on back of Zekrom. And Zekrom says something like, beyond hope, you will find your ideals. What happens in yours?
So in mine, he goes, he has his Reunclus save a Blitzel.
Really?
And they're like, thank you, but you're still full of shoot. Get lost. And he's like, no, I'm going to save our homeland. And then there's a tornado that causes a Bouffalant stampede.
Oh, weird.
Dredd is just staring down the tornado. He summons Reshram. Reshram blows up the tornado and then, like, hyper beams the stampede.
Hell. Oh, right. So.
and then is like, if you will, I will show you the truth, and then flies into the sun.
These scenes are flipped. Well, they're flipped. Like, we get these in the intro, and then when there's a flashback, we see the other one.
Right. Yeah.
So you must have seen the, like, Zekrom knocking over an iceberg with this big forehead.
And out of context, it was like, is he just flucking up an iceberg
just
for fun?
Just for a gag, yeah. Yeah, that was what my movie started with, and I was like, I guess Zekrom's cool. He's got a fun tail that turns blue. At this point, Mandibuzz flies above people, and we arrive at the mountain town of Eindok. We're just in time for the Harvest Festival. Apparently the Deerlink here are different forms, but were yours green? Mine were also green, but I had read that yours were actually the, like, yellow or orange ones.
No, they were definitely
green. Because there's also some Sawsbuck later. That are also the color of your version, but I don't know why. That might have been
Maybe the ones later on were a different color. I don't. At that point, I wasn't taking notes on that
right.
stuff.
And at this point, the movies are mostly the same. Ash gets knocked off of a cliff when trying to save the deerling. He gets there because one of them is startled by a mysterious figure that we realize is Victini. Victini helps Ash rescue the deerling by giving him super jump.
Yeah, he's it's Marvel, baby.
He totally does like a Marvel jump. And he finds a three-way crossroad in the cave. Victini's like, here's the way you go. And then he goes inside, and it looks like something literally out of Final Fantasy 14, where there's like veins and spikes and a big orb.
You know what? It really looks like there's a part in Dark Souls 1 where you have to traverse like a dark cave where there are like these like spire-like crystal bridges all over the place. It looks like exactly
really?
Like
yeah.
that. Yeah, it looks like really, really like
I don't
that.
Know if this is like a common visual thing, but I just feel like I've seen this in a lot of places in like anime and stuff. At the bottom of the cave in my movie is an orb which lights up in fire and the light flows up through the cave. I'm assuming that's the Zekrom orb in your movie.
Mm-hmm. And then Victini sends another vision like, seriously, please leave.
Yeah, yes, yep. Zach, I almost wanted to call him Zach. Ash goes to the top of the mountain, finds a false wall. It goes inside, and there's an old-fashioned restaurant and a big castle. Now, we're in just, like, fake Italy, it seems like, kind of?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, we get some like, macaroons and shoot. That's
what are they,
pretty cool.
So they call them macaroons in Japanese?
Mm-hmm.
Macarons. They keep saying macarons in the dub, and I hate it. I'm like, no one has ever said
that's
macarons.
Not... Oh, that's...
That's not how those words
That's
work.
That's very frustrating.
Weirdly, this city reminded me because I went to France late last summer, and it reminded me of the city of Annecy, which is very like a little Italian, a little French, and a little bit Swiss, because it's like on the border of all three countries.
Oh, I see. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And so this city reminded me of that. They buy some macarons. He goes inside. He finds the gang. But we both got this thing called the Sword of the Veil, right? That's just the same.
Yeah, that's the castle.
Okay. For some reason, my brain was like, what if Six gets a shield of the veil? How dope. But they hadn't seeded that idea this this early in the Pokemon chronology.
No. It's the castle is also a sword.
Okay, great. Which
it stabs the earth.
This is the cool
shoot.
You know, this is the cool visual
shoot
that I like about this movie. And Ash is hungry. He makes a bunch of jokes about how he wants berries. And there's like, even though this sword wasn't supposed to be here, it grew here, and now like good food has grown around it, so people are able to live here. But they weren't born here; they moved here.
There's a good line from Satoshi in the Japanese where he says, "Listen, I don't want to brag, but I'm always hungry."
Yep,
it's like yep, no, good line.
The gang meets Damon, who's working to restore the castle. There's a really cute scene where the goth line of Pokemon, Gotharita, Gothitelle, and what's the Agathita, Gotharita, Gothitelle? Yes. They're like making food and snacks for everyone. And then there's a really brief shot where there's a real, like a human girl that looks like Gothitelle. She's dressed in like a maid outfit, and it's a fucking adorable scene. I love it.
It's cute. Yeah, she sort of jumps in like the ta-da at the end. It's very sweet.
So that is Gothitelle, though, for you? That's not Reuniclus or whatever?
Yeah. No, it is a Gothitelle.
Okay. So here's another fun difference I found. We're introduced to Juanita, who's the main girl of the movie's mom. The girl's name is like... They have like... The localization of their names is pretty good. Her name is Katarina, is the girl's name, and her mom's name is Juanita. Juanita has a shiny Golurk, which apparently is not shiny in your version.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, no, it's like gray. It's like gray.
Huh.
But you get a shiny Hydreigon in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? How is that? Is it cool? Is it a cool Hydreigon? What
kind of
colors?
It's a cool Hydreigon. I mean, you know, it looks like a shiny Hydreigon. But when it gets flocked up later on by Scrafty, it looks real good.
Right. That one, I feel like you get a little bit of, if you care about shinies, you don't see the Hydreigon as much, I don't think. Oh, but you have like the green... Yeah, Hydreigon is shiny, is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Golurk is great. It's a great shiny. It's a great character. Victini continues to follow them around. The woman, this is where we just start getting lore dumps. The woman is like, oh, Victini is a town's protector, and the town is based around it, and we have all these charms. I know you're, as a big Victini fan, you must have loved all of the like Victini merchandise that they have here.
It was, you know, some of it I was a little critical. I was like, I think you really should up the quality on these. These are kind of some cheap. But, you know, in general, I support Victini, and I like the town supports Victini, so
right.
I'm here for it.
I want that big Victini doll that's just got, like, buttons for eyes. That was my favorite.
I also want to comment on Victini having fantastic taste, because more often than not, Ops, when stealing macaroons, to steal the green ones, which are clearly the pistachio macaroons. Very good.
Yep,
taste.
The best ones.
Yes.
Good thing we can agree on that. Let's go get macaroons sometime.
You know, my sister is a pastry chef. She... makes thumbs all the time.
Really hate, by the way, that Scrafty dances with his pants. I don't like seeing Scrafty animated whatsoever.
No, it's not good.
It just reminds you that like the whole gimmick is that his pants are his skin and it's falling down, and that's it, guys. Did you get it?
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. The tournament begins. The shiny Golurk and Juanita watch as Ash fights a cool anime boy. He fights a Samurott with a Tepig and wins because of Victini's interference.
Mm-hmm.
Silent fights somebody with a Pansage and gets his
rear flucking
creamed. And then Iris sends out Namoga and gets
rear
also kicked.
She actually doesn't lose her. It's a one-on-one tournament specifically, and a second one of her Pokemon jumps out and tries to help, and she gets DQ'd.
That's what it was. Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just want to assert that she is objectively better than Silent. who brought a like first evolution grass, pure grass type to a tournament like this. Is it supposed to, what are the rules of this tournament? Is it just like fight everyone around you until you're the last one standing?
Yeah, it's a battle royale.
That's very fun. I would do this. The wiki was positing that this puts this like at a specific point in the season of the anime, because they start talking about going to a battle royale, and this must be the battle royale that they go to.
Interesting.
Then we get our classic Pokemon movie opening credits music video. Pikachu fights a superior, as in English, a male and female sing together about the power inside of all of us. I switched to the Japanese for this because I was like, I bet you they did a different song. And you got a better song! You got a way better song!
Of course
yeah, this, I know it's like, maybe it's just because like, I don't understand it, but like I got the subtitles. Like your lyrics are better. And this one is just like very ballady and like not that fun. I don't like this song in English at all. Mm. Silent gets his
rear
kicked by a Hydreigon. Yep. And then Vicky eats a lot more macaroons. I'm fine with this movie just being like 45 minutes of adorable little Victini putting up the peace sign.
Are you sure? Because you were pretty critical about the fact that there wasn't more plot going on earlier.
As a film, it is not good. As a movie with a plot, I just wanted more plot and like progression and like arcs. But instead, it's like, it's time to turn off the fun time and turn on the plot. And the movie's like pacing really suffers for it. That's how I feel.
Okay, I guess that's fair.
The scene, the highest emotional drama in this movie, though, is when Ash picks up Victini to play with it, and he spins it too fast, and it starts crying. I was gutted. Yeah. I was, like, ready to cancel Pokemon, the anime. Don't ever make
Victini cry. That was a bummer. I thought Victini was being hashtag relatable and being like, hey, don't fluck and touch me.
I just don't want to touch.
But apparently that was just a one-off, because apparently Victini is fine with being touched. And I was like, oh,
you have to be when you make, can you make heat like that.
I guess so.
They chase Victini out of the city, but the city's blocked by an invisible wall that only Victini can't get through. It tries to do its like cool flash flare thing and shoots the wall, and it can't break it. And we're like, oh no, why you can't get through it? We learn that the wall is called the Pillars of Protection. And then we also just like close the loop and we're like, yep. And also Damon is Katarina's older brother. The whole family's here. That's all your characters for the rest of the film. Mm-hmm.
Skipped over real quick. This is just a very dumb thing. Sure. But so you know what Samurott's name is in Japanese, right?
I'm forgetting right now.
Daikenki. Which, as we noted, big... translates to big sword energy.
Yep.
Daikenki. And also means that its cry is just it screaming die before it summons a sword and tries to chop Fluckin' and Scrafty in half. Tepig.
That's a whole mood. That's an entire mood right there. I think the Pokemon that lead Ash and company to the place where they get all the lore are different also. It's Purloin and Drillbur in my movie.
And 7-2.
Oh, it is? Okay. Mm-hmm. They're led to a field with a bunch of Petalils and Cottony. And then we learn that this family descends from a tribe called the People of the Vale. This would normally be a really boring lore dump, but they make a smart decision to lean into the fairy tale-ness and frame it as like a pop-up book, which I think works to the part of the scene's favor.
Yeah, it's cute looking.
Except for the part where when the guy like opens the book, you can tell that the book is CG and everything else around it isn't, and you're like, ugh. It looks really
I think big. It's fine.
It looks bad for half a second.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like it's that era where they're like, what's the opposite of seamless? They're seamfully incorporating CG every now and then.
Yeah.
And I feel like once you make your peace with that, I feel like it's kind of a fun aesthetic about how moments have, like, I think if you think of it as being intentional, I like it, as it's like this moment has a weight and a surrealness to it.
Yeah, now it's the CG has encroached upon the movie.
Because they only use it at they don't use it to just be like, and here's a castle. They used to be like, and this is a dramatic moment every time.
Totally. So. Yeah. It's used to punctuate things mostly in a good way. We hit with a lot of proper nouns here, which is always fun. We have the heroes of ideals and truth, which are the two princes accompanied by Zekrom and Reshiram. We have a king. So the king isn't evil, right? It's just that, why does he move the sword?
He moves the sword because the princes, they were like, hey, I think truth is good. And the other one's like, I think ideals are good. And they're like, let's start a war over this. And in doing so, they sort of make the Dragon's Vein, which is like basically like the ley line that they're on.
Do they call it Dragon's Vein in Japanese?
Yes.
Dragon Force.
Which is the same name as the things you manipulate in Fire Emblem Fates, interestingly enough.
Oh,
also a Nintendo
fun
product. But yeah, so the Dragon's Vein is going crazy and blowing shoot up, basically evaporating trees and shoot. And the king's like, I gotta move this sword so I can seal it away.
I like that it was called the Dragon Force just because it made me think of that song, but Dragon's Vein obviously makes more sense as a translation than Dragon Force. Except later when they're like, oh, the whole city was permeated by Dragon Force. And I'm like, that's cool. That thing you just said is cool.
Except for that part where they're like, I guess we'll have to go through the fire and the flames.
Yeah, and then I had to rip a shredding guitar solo.
Okay, that's pretty sick, actually.
Yeah, it is. We get a flashback here. This is where we both see the other person's introductory movie. I saw the part where he nuked a bunch of Bouffalant and was like, oh my god, they're all dead. And then we cut down and they're all fine. And I'm like, what?
Yep. He just hits them with like the biggest hyper beam. And it's just a... And I had a moment of just like... I mean, I guess they were going to hurt people, but he just murdered them, and then they're all just walking around. It's like, oh, okay.
barreling right forward, Ash and Victini take a nap together. It is through that flashback that we learn that that's how Damon learned that you can use the sword to regain the country's energy.
I'm sorry, I've been waiting 30 minutes to find a way for Damon Ex Machina. Please continue.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. Victini has a scary dream, I guess, about bad things happening. It's fine. Damon decides that he has to be a villain now, and this is where I was like, you're just flipping a switch, basically. Because he's like, it's time. I'm going to go up with my sigilif, and we're going to do magic.
Shoot.
We're going to uproot the Pillars of Protection right now.
And Victini, meanwhile, is like, hey, I want to go to the beach.
Yeah. Hey, Ash, I'd like to go to the beach. I just met you, but that's what I want more than anything else.
I personally, like, I think I liked the way they framed Dredd as a villain here, honestly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it is kind of like, okay, it's time for him to take action. He just becomes kind of a villain. But they have very much framed it as, like, Dredd is a guy who's obsessed with, he had this idea of, like, what if I could make the world a better place? And along the way, he encountered facts and people telling him, like, what you have in mind will not make the world a better place. It will make it worse.
Right.
And he's just too obsessed with his dream to care.
Right. In mine, it seems more like people are telling him, it would be great if what you, if your plan worked, but there's no way it works. It's not realistic. It's not feasible. You have to, like, understand how to get there. But he's like, no, I need to fight for that future. Mm. Again, kind of splitting hairs, but in like important ways. Mm-hmm. So this is where I started to like doze off a little bit, because I just feel like the film, as it like winds up into the action, is just like spinning its wheels or mm-hmm. spinning its clef key, because Juanita's husband has a fucking, everything he rides around is powered by clef keys, Pokemon line, including his like Porco Rosso looking plane. He's got like a, I don't know, like a wind up thing that he uses in the city. It's pretty cool technology stuff. There is not enough of it, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
The gang realizes what's going on. There's a moment where everybody sees him taking the sword out of the town of the forest, and they're like, yay, he's finally doing it. We're happy. And the only reason we, the viewer, know that this is bad is we have to keep cutting to Victini being like, stop! Like, just screaming and writhing.
Well, and it's also, like, here's the thing that the movie doesn't really dwell on. Mm-hmm. There's a town there!
There's a whole town there with like there's berries. There's a developed
there's like
people.
There's like a city. What are you doing?
You can just move that. He's like, oh, but they want to move, and it's like, yeah, I guess, but like not immediate, not like this, not like in 5 seconds.
And you're not moving them. You're just kind of ditching them. The castle's just kind of taking the fuck off. It's like, what if I picked up this skyscraper and just dropped it in the woods? That would suck, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a fun difference I noticed here. At this point, Damon is like in his outfit doing evil things. His cloak is blue and his shirt is red in my movie.
That's a dumb difference.
Is it the opposite in yours?
Yeah.
Very dumb. Deeply dumb. Deeply, deeply dumb. Like, why, guys? They catch up to Damon. He fights back with Gothitelle. I think this is where he uses Reuniclus in your movie to fight Pikachu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cute.
And Satoshi is just like, Pikachu, use Juman Volto. And then it's like, that gets stopped. He's like, okay, do that one again. And it's like, you really got to teach Pikachu some more moves, my guy.
Right. I think he does like Volt Tackle and then Thunderbolt and then Volt Tackle. And it's like, yeah, they're both the same type of move. What are you doing? And then later he uses Quick Attack and it works because this.
Does he use Quick Attack? And he uses Iron Tail in mine.
It's entirely possible that that's different. I've never found any like extensive differences list. Because all of the different lists that I found, that's a really hard sentence to say. All the lists that I found that list the differences are like, there's a bunch of really small stuff that's different. So I think
yep, true.
Just like they used a different move here. Like they I think their video review I was watching even said like they would just pose Ash differently in the same scene. Like same thing is happening, but he'd be on the left side of the screen in mine and the right side in yours.
That's
like,
honestly
why?
Fantastic. I love, like, if you're gonna do this two movie thing, just commit. Just change things for no fluggin' reason.
Yeah, if you're going to have 45 minutes of people just hanging out eating snacks, you might as well like do something goofy with that.
Tell me you got Golurk throwing Flucken final flashes like he's Vegeta.
I believe I did. Yes, I'm pretty sure. Okay, is this when like everyone
the
was
two
in the
hands
air?
Together and the beam? Yeah.
Yeah. This is good. This fight scene is visually very different. That's why it's so short. If you're wondering like why the like scene between like Reshiram and Zekrom and everybody feels kind of cut short. But before we get there, Zekrom is saying like, I'm going to help you out, Damon. In my movie, he's like, I'm going to help you out. And he doesn't know any better because he was literally a rock when everything went badly. So they're like, what are we going to do? Who are we going to get to help us? And then Juanita's like, have you heard of Reshiram? The thing that is exactly designed for this part of the movie. They walk through the weird crystal caverns, and without the help of Victini, Ash employs protagonist powers once again, and they're just like, Ash, we don't know where to go. And he's like, I found it. And they're like, why? Like, why do you get to find it in here?
Well, but they established that earlier.
The cave directs you and tells you where to go.
Right, the cave chooses the wizard.
Yeah. Right. It really does. He gets to the bottom, he stumbles onto Reshiram, who says, do you possess the courage to see the truth? The floor disappears. He catches himself. He gets the orb. Reshiram asks him, what is your wish and what is your truth? He gives a dumb answer about like, my truth is I want the boy to go to the beach. And that's that.
Now, this is another instance where I feel like it's small, but the difference is really good, where what Zekrom asks is, do you have the resolve to seek ideals?
Yes.
And I feel like that fits better because like the thing I would say about Ash/Satoshi is he's in a show where like physically it's not that shonen. I mean, it is obviously shonen, but it's not like he's not doing like, you know, energy punches and shoot, right?
Yeah.
But he does have the shonen protagonist fighting shonen protagonist trait of the fact that he just does not fluck and give up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the it being resolved works a lot better.
Right. Him saying the truth is I don't want Victini to die is like, yeah, good. Like, it doesn't feel like we're knowing anything about Ash.
What is your truth? The truth, Reshiram, is that jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
Flock.
You're right. You've passed. Here you go. Here's my power. So goofy. Shiny Golurk and Zekrom fight in the sky again. Team Rocket are in this movie, even though they have as minor of a role as they're ever going to have in a Pokemon movie. They're just there to try to catch up with the rest of the plot and be like,
shoot,
we're going to die. And then they don't.
I honestly wish there had been a thing where, like, at the end of, like, where they weren't in the whole movie, and there was, like, a shot at the end where they're like, shoot, we took the wrong flight, because they add negative value to this movie. I love Team Rocket. There are a few good goofs around, like, there's especially Meowth's disguise at first, where they're disguised as this, like, short old dude with a gray mustache, and it looks incredible. But that's it. They don't have any reason to be in this movie.
The reason they're in this movie is that some amazing artist at the Pokemon company got to draw Jesse in a like sun hat and like pink dress eating a Pringle on a fork.
I think it's supposed to be an apple, maybe.
It is an apple. When it animates, okay, it makes more sense that it's an apple.
Right, but as a still, it just looks like she's like sour cream and onion.
Delicious. I'm eating this with my two-pronged fork. Yum, yum. Yeah, her outfit's fantastic, but they're not in this movie. I just mentioned it because this is the scene where they're like, we're going to die. Like, they're hanging out to the side of a cliff that Reshiram busts through, or in your case, Zekrom busts through. Then we just get a lot of fighting. I imagine that you would like this part because in my movie, Zekrom and Golurk are fighting, which is like a mech fighting a mech, which is kind of good.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. It's solid. I don't know. I mean, I don't really come to Pokemon for the fights.
Yes.
So
part of the problem is also with these scenes that since everybody's flying, you don't get a sense for like weight or scale. It's just like people flying through like the clouds and you're like, yep. I mean, they're big. Mm-hmm. And when you see people next to them, that's how you know.
We do get a little good. We do get some of that. In Zekrom versus Reshiram, there are parts near the end where they convey the weight well, I think. But Zekrom jumps in, or Reshiram jumps in, however you have your movie. And they fight their way down to the ground, and whoever your title Pokemon is wins, but then dives and catches the other one before it falls. And is like, hey, listen, here's what's going on. And the other one's like, oh, Shoot.
Oh, whoops. We were dead. We were rocks for like 1,000 years. My bad, bro.
Yeah. And so, and then Ash is like going to go like bust Victini out, but then Reshram shows up and Ash is like, oh no, it's Reshram. And Reshram's like, dude, I know what's going on. It's fine.
Yeah.
Bust Victini out. Hooray.
Hooray. Victini, the
Fluckin'
goat, is trying to save Ash. This is where I kind of lose the movie a little bit, and then it gets really, 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 really weird. Zerkram is like, I can hear the land's anger. And Damon is realizing, like, oh, how could this be wrong? Am I bad? Do I have to use the sword to soothe the anger of the land?
And then the mayor runs up and says, the energy of the dragon's vein is flowing backwards. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Excuse?
And then the whole Fluckin' sword castle glows pink and floats into space.
Right. And then Reshram and Zekrom are in space, and Ash is in space, and they're battling each other. And it's like, did this become Gundam for 5 seconds? Hello?
And Ash, like, his skin is turning gray, and there are, like, patches of white ice. And he's like, it's cold, and I can't breathe.
I can't feel my body, he says.
It's like, what the fuck is happening?
Sorry, Victini, can't take you to the beach. That was the part that I was like, oof. Like, if this was somebody's Pokemon the first movie, this would be the scene where Ash turns to stone and they're like, it always kills me.
Yeah, he has that moment where he cries a last tear.
And he does a Mobile Suit Gundam Frozen teardrop.
Right. It freezes and then shatters. It's like, okay, that's kind of sick.
Yep, yep.
This is what caused me to ask the question, because there's the barrier that's holding Victini in.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying to break it, but it's too strong.
Yeah.
Could Arceus make a barrier so strong even they couldn't break it?
Watchmen, now on HBO. I mean, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Then Victini does some Kamen Rider.
Shoot.
Gets a big V on his forehead and breaks out Ash, but sacrifices its own life to do so.
What does Arceus need with a Pokeball?
What came first, the Arceus of a Pokeball? There you go. Ew, somebody's already made that joke, probably verbatim somewhere.
But also Arceus, because Pokeballs are...
Because Pokeballs were a man... Oh, like acorns, I don't know. Whatever Professor Oak used to
Fair. Do. So then the Dragon Vein just sort of fires into space, and it's like, I guess now it's like, just throwing shoot into space, that's good.
That's probably fine for like the greater environment, that's not an issue.
I mean, hey, as long as it doesn't affect Earth, right?
It's all that
matters.
Get
flock, Venus.
I love climate change. But it goes in the sky, so we get a pretty rainbow six.
Oh, no, that's later. Oh,
okay.
That's later. And then they're coming down, and the mayor just, like, knowing things he shouldn't know, yeah. And saying stuff that doesn't make any sense, being like, you have to chase down the dragon vein and land at its front. And I'm like,
why? What?
What?
Hello?
What are you talking about? And Dredd's mom is like, hey, don't
flock
this up. Steer
You'll
good.
You'll die.
And Dredd's like, mom. And then they land, and it's good, and they go to the beach, and Satoshi's like, oh, man, we made it to the beach, but Victini's not here.
Oh, no, I'm crying. Just kidding.
I'm gonna throw one last macaron into the ocean in honor of my friend. He throws it, and it stops in the air. And Victini's here, invisible, and eats it. Oh.
I want to be invisible and eat a macaron. Victini is like, hey,
flock.
I lived
bridge.
And it's like, why? And it's like, plot, shut up. Because it feels good.
Well, okay. Because Victini won. Because it's victory, the victory Pokemon. Yeah. And then Victini's like, gives a vision being like, what if I just made everything good? It's like, okay, sure, do that.
Juanita says in my movie, the future is what is important. Let's restore the land of our ideals. I wonder, is that the line that she says in yours?
Why would she say the land of our ideals instead of truth?
I don't know.
What? Because, yes, she says ideals in mine, too.
Even in my Japanese one, she says, correct. Let's take back our ideal home. I'm looking at my subtitles. Like, what? Did they not change this part? and then Reshiram and Zekrom fly away into the mm-hmm. ocean.
But before they do, they barf lasers into the water to create a rainbow.
Yes, correct.
And then over the credits, we get like a bunch of like clearly like kids art that was like the official artist did line art of Actini.
So good.
And then sort of like kids colored around the edges. Oh, it's so good.
There's also a Toys R Us credit in the credits. I don't know what that was because all the credits are in Japanese.
Hmm. Huh.
I didn't get the Cartoon Network dub edit of this, which apparently has a lot of cuts around the Japanese shit. I didn't catch it. Apparently there's a Tornadus and or a Thunderous, depending on your version of the credits.
Okay.
I didn't see that. Who cares?
Me either, yeah. And then at the end, Ash and company walk back via the opposite side of the fork of the road. And they head back.
Adventures. So, you like the gimmick of this? I feel like more movies, this could be done in movies in cool ways.
I mean, you have to be real careful. It has to be a stupid movie.
Right. You don't want to like make a Marvel movie where it's like, depending on which version you see in the theater. Not that Marvel movies aren't stupid, but like a big budget or like a movie that's part of a franchise. You don't want to split the plot like this. Just make like a one-off movie that's like Clue does something like this. Do you know the movie Clue?
Sure. Yes. Yes. I adore Clue. It's a great
movie. The murder is different depending on where you saw it. And then there's like cuts that are just all of the different murder reveals. That's fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what I would want is something like, I don't know, like, I would want a, like, do, and I'm thinking of, like, do you, are you familiar with The Raid Redemption?
Yes, I am.
What if you, like, do that movie, but, like, there are, like, given that that movie basically has two main characters, it's like, oh, there are occasionally scenes that are, like, oh, this character's doing the fighting rather than the other one, or whatever. So it's like, you have two versions, and there's, you know, if you absolutely want to, you can watch both versions. But mostly it's just so that, you know, when you meet up with your friend afterwards, you can sort of compare notes. You don't need to watch both, but it's like, oh, huh, that's weird. That was different in yours, huh?
It's a conversation.
Oh, he picked up a shotgun rather than a machine gun or whatever.
Right, and I tried finding the seams in this one, and it honestly just seems like they put a lot of effort into making different scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one that was like, I bet you this will be an easy swap out, is like Gothitelle and Reuniclus. Because they're both just doing psychic attacks, and it's like, just swap out the sprite or whatever, like the drawing. But otherwise, it's like, no, they really did redraw that final fight scene two completely different ways. The shots are different. They are choreographed differently so that you can get a fulfilling experience watching the same plot in two different movies.
Nintendo has budget.
They really do. They have all of it. Or at least they did in 2011.
Well, you know, they got money these days. They just don't spend it.
There's a Kanye West lyric I could quote, but I'm not going to because
I like the old Nintendo.
I'd rather buy 80 gold chains and go ignorant like white people. Get money, don't spend it. Yeah, let's pivot because I feel like this movie immediately fell out of my brain the second I finished it.
All right.
It's fine. I mean, I'm glad that this is again why I'm kind of glad that we're not watching all of the Pokemon movies, because then they would all smush into my head of like, they're all messy, and it's like, oh, I remember this one because like the way that it's different is funny and interesting.
Alan, we all live in a Pokemon world.
I want to be the greatest master of them all six. You have to understand that.
And you know, I feel like I do.
Good. So glad. You want.
I don't know. What do you want to say?
I had fun. Maybe we'll do more Pokemon movies in the future, but it's 2020 and it's time to start Gen 6 next week.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think we need to continue the trend of being picky about our movies. I think that's working well for us.
Yeah, I agree.
And picky about our Pokemon.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. yeah, we only have like 70 Pokemon in Gen 6. I just looked it up like two nights ago or last night. So,
oh, that sounds so nice.
The rest of the gens are all short, or at least shorter than the biggest gen. This is honestly like a section of the decks that I'm going to be excited to talk about a lot, because even though it was less played by people of our generation, like 6, 7, and 8, there's cool mons in there that no one's talking about.
Yeah. This, for a while, this was my, like, a contender for my favorite gen. I think this gen's great.
Gen 6, yeah. It is your name also. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
They do.
Liking myself is very out of character.
Right, I was going to say, that's not a mood. That's not a mood in the slightest. Let's plug it in, Six. Let's plug it in like a big Victini V we'll call this a victory, and we'll tell the people where we can find you on the internet.
All right. I am 6detmar. You can find me at Twitter at 6detmar, S-I-X-D-E-T-T-M-A-R, patreon.com/scanlinemedia and scanlinemedia.com. Hey, there's a new Scanline Media patron show. If you're a $5 plus patron, we have our new pen and paper podcast, Scanline Tabletop. First episode is out for free. We'll have the regular $5 episode out later this month. I think you should check it out. I think it's fun stuff.
Broke Scanline Table Talk. Woke Scanline Tops.
What about you, Alan?
You can find me on the internet just trying to get some sleep, but falling into a pit of more and more podcasting. I'm on Chats of Television podcast. That's C-H-A-T-Z. It's a show I do with my friend Magellan where we watch two episodes of cult classic TV shows every week and talk about them. We have a new show coming up hopefully soon-ish in that same feed, so you can check that out wherever you listen to podcasts. And we also have a Patreon on our show. It's patreon.com/chatspod. Where we have a bunch of fun bonus content. And Six is going to be on one of those very soon. So,
yay.
Yeah, get excited. Please get excited for the shows that we do.
It will be hype.
Indeed. Now, Six, it's an alternate version of a normal universe. This is sort of the black and white version. So, This is a game for adults. So let's be kids.
So let's.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, so let's go feel those nuts with our tongues.
Yes! I simply must feel these nuts with my tongue. Goodbye, everyone.
Peace.